From Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 14, our text today comes from, our title today comes from our text, and the message is titled, Full of the Spirit and the Power of the Spirit. Anybody want some of that? Amen. Oh my goodness, let's look at the Word of God today. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1 says, Jesus was full of whom? Full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was what? Led around by the Spirit. You know, you can't be full of the Spirit if you're not being led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, you're full of the Spirit. So anybody want to be full of the Spirit today? Jesus was full of the Spirit, and he returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the what? In the power of the Spirit. And what happens when you're full of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit with the power of the Spirit? News about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Amen? Lord, bless not only the reading of your word, but now the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray for an anointing on this moment and this time. Lord, I pray for clarity of mind, simplicity of speech, and freedom of delivery. Maximize this message. Minimize me as the messenger. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, there are three simple truths that I want to share with you about our text today, full of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. The first one is, I want you to notice the observations that were made about Jesus. In our text, there are some observations that was made about Jesus. And I want to say to you right now that I want these same observations to be evident in my life. And I hope that they're the same observations that you want to be made about your life. What was the first observation that was made about Jesus from those who saw him, those who heard him, and those who walked with him? In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, look at what it says. Jesus, full of whom? Full of the Holy Spirit. Now you see, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, that's something that can be observed. It's impossible to be full of the Spirit and it not be observable. It's impossible to be full of the Holy Spirit and it not be measurable. It's impossible to be full of the Holy Spirit and it not have evidence about it. So these are observations that people were making about Jesus. Jesus was somebody who was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, the thing about Jesus that we need to remember, he is God. And he could just use his deity to do whatever needed to be done. Do you remember this statement that was made about Jesus when he was on the cross? He could have called the angels to come and rescue him. He was God. All he had to do was speak the word, and angels would have been at his attendance at any point in time. But Jesus humbled himself. The book of Philippians tells us that he emptied himself of the privileges of deity. He didn't stop being deity. He didn't stop being God. But he emptied himself of the privilege, of the right, of the opportunity to just simply operate with his deity as opposed to his humanity. He took on human flesh so that he could accomplish the purposes of God. And the purposes of God was to make you redeemable and me redeemable so that we could receive God into our life and we could go around be an expression of God in our daily lives. And so Jesus emptied himself of the privileges and the opportunity of displaying his deity, and he chose to operate in his humanity. And how did he operate so successfully in his humanity? It was with the power of the Holy Spirit. The same way that you are to live your life and I'm to live my life, that's the way Jesus lived his life. He lived his life in dependency upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, to be full of the Holy Spirit means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you are being controlled by the Holy Spirit, and that means it controls your thoughts. He controls your emotions. He controls your choices. And when you are full of the Holy Spirit, you are thinking the right way, you are feeling the right way, and you're choosing the right way. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and had returned from the region of the Jordan, and he was what? Led around. You see, there's that connection between being filled with and led by. Oh, my goodness, today, something is controlling your life. Someone is controlling our life. It's either the Holy Spirit or it's the human spirit. It's either the Holy Spirit or a demonic spirit. But something is controlling your life. Now, what's leading your life and what's leading my life? If you're full of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be led by the Spirit. Amen? Oh, my goodness, I want to tell you, when you take the veil off of your human spirit and I take the veil off of my human spirit, His Spirit will testify with your spirit that you are a child of God. His Spirit will talk to your spirit and tell you this is the way, walk in it. His Spirit will testify with your spirit that this is what you need to choose and this is what you need to avoid. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Now, we need to learn how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to learn how to be led by the Spirit. If Jesus needed to be full of the Spirit and Jesus depended on being led by the Spirit, how much more do you need it? How much more do I need it? Amen? Now, when you are full of the Spirit, you will be led by the Spirit. And now look at the next observation made about Jesus. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the what? Woo, glory to God. Would anybody like any of that power on their life? He returned to Galilee in the power, the dunamis of God. Oh, my goodness, that is what life is exciting, what it makes life exciting. That's what makes life fulfilling, is that where you know that every step you take, you're taking it by the Spirit of God. Every step you take, you're taking it in the power of God. It won't matter what demon comes your way. It won't matter what depression comes your way. It won't matter what distraction comes your way. You're being led by the Spirit, not by your flesh. And you're about walking by the power of God and not by the power of your own strength. Wouldn't that give you confidence? Wouldn't that give you assurance? And I want to tell you, if we ever can get that into our children, if we can ever get that into this next generation right here, they won't need a gang to give them power. They won't need drugs to give them power. They won't need illicit sex to give them power. They'll have the real thing, and it will be the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You see, those are some observations that were made about Jesus. But let me show you a second thing. Not only do we see the observations about Jesus, but now I want you to notice with me the declaration made by Jesus. Now let's look at the declaration made by Jesus. You see, the observations were made by somebody else. And now, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. Now I want you to notice the declaration that was made by Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 18, look at what Jesus said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Oh my goodness, what a declaration that is. To be able to say to anybody within the sound of your voice that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Can somebody say, I want that? Oh my goodness, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That is the desire of my heart. That is what I want for Christmas. That's what I want for my birthday. That's what I want for my anniversary. That's what I want for the morning when I wake up, is I want the Spirit of the Lord God to be upon me. I want that to be an observation that others can make about me, and I want that to be a truthful declaration that I can make about myself. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, let me show you something about that. When did the Spirit of the Lord come upon Jesus? Can we get those scripture references up there, please? When did the Spirit of the Lord come upon him? Now, there has to be a time and there has to be a place in our life where the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. There has to come a time when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? There needs to be multiple times when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. There will be times when God gives you an assignment in His kingdom. And when you have an assignment in His kingdom, you will need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to successfully fulfill that assignment. Amen? Amen. Now, Jesus had an assignment. Say, he had an assignment.
He had an assignment.
And guess what? He needed the power of the Holy Spirit. When did Jesus get this anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him? In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it tells us when this happened to him. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it says, now when all the people were what? When all the people were baptized, what's it say after that? Jesus was also baptized. Now, I want you to think about the time when you were baptized. And I'll think about the time when I was baptized. What did you understand about your baptism? What did I understand about my baptism? Now, if Jesus was baptized and all of those people were baptized, then guess what? We ought to be baptized. And we ought to be baptized for the reasons that Jesus was baptized. And we ought to be able to expect what Jesus got at his baptism to be available for our baptism. It says that when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while Jesus was praying, what happened for him? Heaven was opened for him. And heaven was opened to him. Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of where? And said, you are my beloved Son, and in you I am what? Well pleased. Let me take just a moment to remind you of some truths about water baptism and spirit baptism. Amen? Because you see, this is what happened to Jesus. Jesus was water baptized, and the Father used his occasion of water baptism to give him his spirit baptism. His spirit was baptized with the Holy Spirit at his water baptism. Can you say, oh my goodness? Why in the world should we be water baptized? First of all, let me show you this. Water baptism establishes obedience. Water baptism establishes obedience in your relationship with God. Can somebody say amen? Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, real quickly. Peter said to them, repent each one of you and be what? Baptized. You see, what you need to do is you need to be made aware that by nature you are a sinner. Your very nature is sinful, and it separates you from God. Your human spirit is not alive. It's dead. It's dead because of your sins. It's dead because of your trespasses against God. And there's nothing you can do to give yourself an alive spirit. That is something that takes the power of God to give you. When your spirit is dead, you don't connect with God. You don't have a relationship with God. You don't communicate with God. You don't worship God. You can be religious in all of those ways, but you're not in a relationship with God in that capacity. And so when you hear that by the Spirit convinces you that you're a sinner and your sins have separated you from God, but God loves you just like you are, and His grace will make you what you ought to be, He will quicken your spirit and make you alive, then you need to turn from your sinfulness and you need to turn to His grace and His love and His forgiveness. That's what happens when you get born again. And when you get born again, instantly, when you repent, when you turn to God, when you trust in the finished work of Jesus as the payment for your sins, then God miraculously quickens your spirit and makes it alive. And then His Spirit comes to mingle with your spirit. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, when that happens, look at what He says. Repent. When you've done that, when you have cried out to God and asked Him to forgive you as a sinner and to make you His child by grace through faith, when you've done that, then each and every one of us need to be what? You need to be water baptized. You need to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now look at this. For what reason do you need to be baptized? Because of the forgiveness of your sins. Because of the forgiveness of your sins, you need to be water baptized. And guess, look at the third thing that happens. You repent, you get water baptized, and then look at the third thing God's got waiting for you. And, you see that word and? You will also receive the what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk about that just briefly. The moment that you repent, the moment that you believed in the finished work of Jesus, His death and resurrection as payment for your sins, the moment you do that, then you receive the gift of eternal life. And the gift of eternal life happens when God comes to live in your spirit. And when God comes to live in your spirit, He awakens your spirit. He comes to mingle with your spirit. And you then have eternal life. How long is eternal? It's forever. It's forever. Once you have eternal life, you can never not have it. It is forever, and it is final, and you get that. But there's the difference between the indwelling presence of eternal life and the outward presence of the gift of the Spirit. There is the internal dwelling of the Spirit, and then there's the external arrival of the Spirit. Look at what it says. And you will also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what happened to Jesus? Jesus wasn't baptized because He needed to repent. Why did Jesus not need to be born again? Because He was born right the first time. He was born without sin. He was God who took on humanity. But you need to be baptized, and I need to be baptized because we weren't born right the first time. We were born dead in our sins and trespasses. We were born dead. That's being born wrong. And when you realize that you're a sinner and your sins have separated you from God, then you repent of your sins, and by grace you are saved through faith. And when that happens, God's Spirit comes into your spirit. Your spirit is miraculously awakened, and you have the Spirit of God inside of you, but there is an anointing that's waiting to come on you. And He says, I want to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. So water baptism establishes your obedience in your relationship to God. Now, there may be some of you that you have become a child of God. You've been born again, but you were baptized before you got born again. You need to put your baptism on the proper side of your salvation. That's because that's the only time that it's out of obedience. You can't be obedient in doing something before you have a relationship. If you don't have a relationship with God, then you need to establish that relationship with God by grace through faith. And when you do that, then you be baptized. And so if you've been saved, if you've been born again, but you haven't been baptized after you were water baptized, then you need to put your water baptism on the proper side of your salvation. Amen? Now let me show you some benefits that you could look forward to in your water baptism. The second thing, let me show you that one up there. Water baptism provides an occasion for a heavenly announcement to be made to your soul. Now, what's your soul? It's your mind, it's your emotions, and that's where your will operates out of. Amen? Now, look at this. In Mark chapter 1, verse 10, immediately coming up out of the what? When Jesus was water baptized, immediately as He was coming up out of that water, what happened? A voice came out of where? The heavens. And the Father had something to say to His Son. The Father had something to say to Him. And this was a message sent from heaven right down into His soul, into His mind and into His heart, and into His emotions that would help shape His will and would help to influence His choices from that point on. You see, when you were born into this world, you were born as a spiritual orphan. You didn't have a heavenly Father. You didn't have the proper identity. You didn't have the proper life. You didn't have the proper destiny. But when you get born again, God adopts you into his family and he becomes your father. And as your father, he's got something he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak life into you. He wants to speak truth into you. He wants to speak love into you. He wants to speak purpose into you. He wants to speak destiny into you. When does he want to do that? When you've been obedient to him, and your water baptism is one of the best times that he could do it. And what he could say to you is, you are my beloved child, and I love you so very much. And beloved, when you come up out of that water and you receive that heavenly announcement to your soul, I want to tell you, you're ready to walk in a new way of living because you realize old things have been passed away. Behold, all these other things have now become new. But you know, religion won't teach us those things. Religious teaches you just need to be baptized because your daddy was baptized, your mama was baptized, your grandmama was baptized, and because everybody else getting baptized. But God wants you to be baptized for other reasons. He would love when your spirit comes alive for you not to take your first step without knowing just how highly favored you are in his eyes. Now, for a lot of us, we didn't get that happen to us when we got water baptized. It has to happen some other time after that. And so what happens when we've just been religious in our obedience without doing it out of understanding and knowledge in our relationship with him, then the Father looks for another opportunity in our life to give that heavenly announcement to our soul. There comes a time in every one of God's children's life where he will speak a word of affirmation into your soul. He will speak a word of confirmation into your soul. He will speak a word of transformation into your soul so that you'll know that you belong to him and he belongs to you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And he don't want you living beneath your privileges. And he don't want you walking like a child of the devil. He wants you walking like a child of God. And the only way that you can do that is to know who your daddy is. And if Abba Father is your daddy, then you ought to live like your daddy wants you to live. Amen? So, hey, our water baptism establishes our obedience and our relationship with God. Water baptism provides an occasion for a heavenly announcement to our soul. But look at the third thing. Water baptism provides a setting. It provides an atmosphere. It provides an opportunity for spiritual breakthrough in your circumstances. Oh, my goodness. Let's go all the way back to the River Jordan. Let's go all the way back to the circumstances of Jesus at that time. And your Bible still says, what's the first word in verse 10? Immediately. What's immediately mean? It means right now. It means right away. The very next thing. Immediately as he was coming up out of the what? As he was coming up out of the water, he saw what? The heavens what? Oh my goodness. Do I have a witness in the house today that have any of you ever felt as if the heavens were closed? Have you ever gone through seasons in your life to where it feels like that the heavens are brass? And even if they are open, they're so far away you can't see the entrance and you can't get there? We all go through circumstances in our life. We all go through seasons in our life where it seems as if Daddy is a million miles away and he might not ever come back home again. We all go through circumstances in our life and seasons in our life where God just doesn't feel as close as he used to feel. He doesn't feel as real as he used to feel. He doesn't seem as interested as he used to be interested. But sometime what God's going to do is he's going to remove what has been blocked for you. And for Jesus, look at what happened right here. He saw the heavens opening. Whenever you have this spirit baptism that Jesus is experiencing here, God uses it as a setting for spiritual breakthrough in your life. And what God does, he says, from this point on, whatever has been closed to you is now going to be open to you. Whatever resources have been withheld from you are now going to be made available to you. And so when Jesus came up out of that water, he knew by the voice of affirmation that he was well-pleasing to his Father. And he knew that heaven was open to him and whatever was in heaven was able to be poured out onto him. Amen? And when the Father opened the heavens for Jesus, what was the first thing came out? Look at that. And the what? Oh, my goodness. The Spirit, like a dove, came descending down upon him. Now, what was the declaration that Jesus made? The Spirit of the Lord is what? It's upon me. What was the observation that was made about Jesus? Jesus was full of the Spirit. Jesus was being led by the Spirit. Jesus had the power of the Spirit. That which was observed was that which was experienced. And that which was experienced came about when that spiritual breakthrough came in his circumstances. And from that point forward, the Holy Spirit came down and came upon him. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Look at number four real quickly. Number four, tells us water baptism opens the way to a ceaseless overflowing of the Holy Spirit on your life. Now look at our text in the context that we have it here. Now when all the people were what? Baptized. Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, what happened? Heaven was opened. Oh my goodness. Have you gone through seasons in your life and you're praying when heaven opened? When heaven opened and what's in heaven comes down on you. Oh my goodness, I want to tell you that is heavenly. That is angelic. That is supernatural. That is priceless. That is absolutely powerful when that happens. Look at verse 22. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven. You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased. And look at what Jesus said happens to you and happens to me when you get thirsty. When you get thirsty for this. When you get thirsty for this. You got to get thirsty for this before you're ever going to drink this. Amen?
Amen?
Oh my goodness. We had some stuff Wednesday night. We had some stuff Wednesday night that was given away. They were in nice, beautiful containers. And they were green for the most part on the bottom. I think there was spinach in there. I think there was, what all was in those things? Carrots were in there. Kale was in there. All kind of good stuff. Stuff was good for you in there. And man, I looked at that for several hours trying to get a thirst for that. I'd get to that container and I'd start to take that top off. I said, no, if I take the top off, I'm going to have to drink it. And I just wouldn't drink it. And there's all kind of, but there's some tangerine juice. Oh, I'll drink that. There was some pineapple juice. Oh, I'd like some pineapple juice. But oh, sometimes we're looking at this healthy stuff when we're looking at the Holy Spirit, and all Jesus says, I just got to get you thirsty enough to drink it. I got to get you thirsty enough to drink it, and if you'll ever drink it, you'll never be sorry a day in your life. I'd ask other people. I said, did you have any of that? I said, Pastor Darrell, did you drink any of that? I'm trying to find somebody that could tell me, Joanne, did you drink it? She tried for 3 days to drink that much and to do that. And so that's what you do when it comes to that. And when the Holy Spirit is made available to you, you're trying to find somebody that's gotten thirsty for it and drank before. And I want to say, I have never known anybody that's drank the Holy Spirit that said, I didn't like that. Everybody that I know that's tasted have testified the Lord is good.
Amen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. But look at what Jesus says. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow what? Rivers of living waters. Oh my goodness, I want to tell you, we've got some folks in here that's been thirsty before. And they've carried their thirst to God and they said, God, I'm thirsty. I want a drink of the Holy Ghost. And when they took a drink of the Holy Ghost, out of their innermost being begins to flow rivers of living water. It becomes observable to other people. It becomes a declaration that they make, and it becomes a recommendation that they make, is I want you to have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, if you'll do that, there will be a ceaseless overflowing of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Is anybody thirsty today? Would anybody like to drink of the Holy Ghost today? I highly recommend him to you in Jesus' name. Let me show you a third thing. We've seen the observations that were made about Jesus. We have seen the declaration that was made by Jesus. But now let me show you the third thing as it applies to us today. and that is the manifestations that accompanied Jesus. You see, after he was water baptized, after he received his baptism with the Spirit, there were some manifestations that began to accompany the declaration that he was making. Look at what it says. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, what's the word after me? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because. Let me tell you this today. Whenever you receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there's always a reason. There's always a purpose. There's always an assignment. There's always an essential. Let me show you four things that are necessary in order for us to have the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit, first of all, for our preaching ministries. We need the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to come upon our preaching ministries. Look at what it says in Luke 4:18. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he has what? He has anointed me to do what? He's anointed me to preach the good news. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to who? To the poor." Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh my goodness. Whenever we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, people can tell the difference between the anointing and the not anointing. It's kind of like the old person said that give our pastor the unction. Give our pastor the anointing. And somebody said, "What is the unction? What is the anointing?" And they said, "I don't know what it is, but I know what it ain't." And that's what we want. Then in our preaching and in our teaching ministries, we want the power of the Holy Spirit upon it. Listen to what people said about Jesus and his preaching under the anointing. In Mark chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "Jesus came into his hometown, and he began to teach in the synagogue, and the listeners were astonished." And you know what they said when they were astonished? They said, "Where did he get these things from?" He could take the Word of God, and he could bring truths out of that Word of God that they'd never seen before and they'd never heard before, but they were full of wisdom and full of practical application. Amen? Oh, church, if you want to pray for me for anything, pray for me to have a double portion anointing, for my preaching to be anointed by the Spirit of God, not for fame and not for reputation, but for the kingdom's sake and for your sake. Amen? Oh, my goodness, I don't know about you, but I want anointing. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because our preaching ministries need the anointing. Amen? I don't want to preach a day without the anointing. I don't want to try to teach a lesson without the anointing. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to lead me by the Spirit and to proclaim liberation through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. But let me show you a second, because we need the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us because our preaching ministries. But number two, our healing ministries. Amen. Our healing ministries require the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's one reason most churches won't offer a healing ministry, because you can't bring healing without the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing in these hands that'll produce healing for your body. There's nothing in these hands that'll produce healing for your soul. There's nothing in these hands that'll produce healing. It only comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. And most people won't even give God an opportunity to display His presence and power with healing, because they know they're not walking in the anointing. They know they're not under the power of the Holy Spirit. And they know that rivers of living water are not flowing out of their innermost being. We need it for our healing ministries. Listen to what those same folk that were so impressed with the anointed preaching and teaching of Jesus said. In Mark chapter 6 in verse 2, and it says, we know that in such miracles as these were performed by His hands. Oh my goodness, whenever you are filled with the Holy Spirit, whenever you're being led by the Holy Spirit, then there will be observations that people are making. There will be declarations that you can make. And there will be manifestations that people can see of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in miracles. Amen? Amen. But when Jesus left his hometown, When Jesus left his hometown, he said that he wondered, he marveled, he was amazed, he was astonished at their unbelief. Here he was preaching under the anointing like they'd never heard it before. Here he was bringing things out of the Word of God like they'd never heard before. Here he was proclaiming such wisdom that they never heard before. Here he was performing miracles through his hands that they'd never seen before, but yet they wouldn't believe that he was the Messiah. They wouldn't believe that he was God. And Jesus was wondering, he was marveled, he was amazed, he was astonished at their unbelief. And because of their unbelief, listen to what it says. He could not do many mighty miracles there. Listen to this. Except he healed a few sick folk. Now, you know how far we've drifted from the miracles of the New Testament? We think a mighty miracle of God if God removes a fever from somebody. We think a mighty miracle of God has occurred if God heals somebody who's sick. But Jesus said those are low on the scale of miracles that I want to give you. Those are low on the scale. Now, if you've got the fever and you've got the tumor, that's a big thing. But Jesus put that in the category of a small thing compared to what he wants to do. How many want to see giant-sized things from God? How many want to see mighty miracles from God? How many want to see mighty healings of God? Mighty manifestations of God? I want to tell you, it won't happen without the anointing. It won't happen without the power of the Spirit. It won't happen without belief. And we've got to be willing to believe our sick folk. We've got to have the power to bring our sick folk and bring our sicknesses to the cross of Jesus Christ through the resurrection of Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, by your stripes I've been healed. And in the name of Jesus, this infirmity has to go for the glory of God. Now, our preaching ministries need the anointing. Our healing ministries need the anointing. But look at number three, our deliverance ministries need the anointing. Our deliverance ministry. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. The Spirit of God has anointed me because he has given me the message of recovery of sight to the blind. And then he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because I'm to set free those who are what? Oppressed. You see, the devil and demons come to oppress humanity. They come to discourage humanity. They come to control humanity. And I want to tell you, we're living in one of the areas to where there's all kind of demonic strongholds. We're living in an area where there are all kinds of people that are demonized by demon spirits. And I want to tell you, counselors are not be able to deliver them. I want to tell you, drugs are not going to be able to deliver them. Gangs can't deliver them, and pathetically saying, most churches can't bring deliverance to them. But I want to tell you, if we're going to have a New Testament church, we're going to have a deliverance church. We're going to have a church to where those who are oppressed of devils, they can come and be brought, and by the power of God, they can be set free. Amen? Oh, my goodness, listen to what Jesus did with his disciples. In the New Testament, Jesus said in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, he sent the disciples out by twos and he gave them authority over unclean spirits. Do you realize that as a child of God, you have been given the authority of Jesus Christ to cast out devils? You have been given the authority of Jesus Christ to set the oppressed free. You have been given authority of Jesus Christ to set captives free. You've been given the authority of Christ to lead people into forgiveness of sin. You've been given the authority of Christ to heal sickness and infirmity. And it is not the especially elite. It is the anointed of God. And if you get thirsty for the Holy Spirit, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And greater miracles with these than these you will do as well. Amen. The deliverance ministries to set free those who are oppressed of unclean spirits. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit for the fourth reason. The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me because our restoration ministries need them. Our restoration ministries need them. In chapter 4, verse 19, he says, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Amen. What is the favorable year of the Lord? It is the year that God has determined. It is the year that God has decreed. It is the year that God has willed and established for redemption and for restoration to occur for His people. I want to tell you, the church needs to have a restoration ministry. The church needs to have a ministry to where things that get broken and out of joint can be set back in its place. Where members who get tripped up by the wiles of the devil. When children of God who get to living like an orphan rather than like a child of God make bad decisions. When they go out into a far country, we need to be the kind of place that when they come to their senses, they want to come back home because there's love waiting on them there. There is forgiveness waiting on them there. There is restoration waiting on them there. Oh my goodness, we've got to put down the stone-throwing ministry. There's enough rocks being thrown out there in the world. The church ought not be throwing rocks at its own. The church ought to be helping those who are ready to be restored by the grace of Almighty God, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. I want to tell you that I believe that this is the year of favor for us. Amen? This is a season of opportunity for us. This is the year of favor. This is the year of grace. This is the year of acceptability with the Lord. Do you want favor this year? Do you want grace this year? Do you want restoration this year? Then, oh my goodness, you got to be willing to enter into it. You got to be willing to embrace it. And you've got to be willing to get messy in the grace of God. Amen? So today, I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody today that needs to repent? Jesus said through Peter to repent and be baptized. I believe there's somebody here today that you need to repent. You need to have a change of mind and you need to have a change of heart. You realize that you've been going the wrong direction with your life. But today, God's calling you back to Himself. He's calling you to repent of the way that you've been walking. He's calling you to repent of the decisions that you've been making. He's calling you to repent of the lifestyle that you've been living. And He's asking you to come back unto Him. He's asking you to start all over with Him and let Him do what needs to be done for you. If you're willing to repent today, are you willing to be water baptized? Are you willing to be water baptized? Remember the benefits of being water baptized. It establishes your relationship of obedience with God. It provides a setting for God to be able to speak an affirming word to your soul. It provides a setting in which God can open up the windows of heaven and just change your circumstances right there on the spot. It gives an opportunity for God to release the flow of the Spirit from your life if you're willing to do that. I believe somebody needs to repent today. I believe somebody needs to choose to be water baptized going forward to this day. And the third thing is anybody thirsty today? Is anybody willing to receive the gift, the anointing of the Holy Spirit today? When you've been repentant, when you've been obedient, then you got to get thirsty. Is there anybody thirsty for that anointing of the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you, I'm one that's thirsty. I want a double portion anointing on my life. I want God to give me a double portion of His anointing, a double portion of His presence, a double portion of His power, a double portion of His provision, a double portion of His peace, a double portion of Him is what I'm asking for. I'm not looking for an experience. I'm looking for Him. I'm not looking for any particular gift. I'm looking for Him. When you get Him, He deposits the gifts. And when He deposits the gifts, His grace and Spirit opens those gifts. Amen? I want Him to mingle with my spirit. And I want our spirit to be one and for Him to be manifest in my life. And every step that I take to be observable, He is anointed by the Spirit of God. He's being led by the Spirit of God. He's operating in the power of God. Can somebody say, I'll pray for you, Pastor? I'll pray for you, Pastor, in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.